Welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. We're here on a stunning spring day. Hi, Eric.
Hey, good afternoon, Julie.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. Enjoying the beautiful spring weather.
Yeah, you know, it's a good day to take your dog for a walk.
Indeed. You don't even need the poncho or anything.
No. We went on a walk this morning at Seward Park, which was lovely. It was just blue, clear sky, and the sun was making the water sparkle, which was one of my favorite things. So the dogs were very happy, and so were we. Well, we have a very special guest today. We have Daisy Peel with us, who is a national agility champion, recent national agility champion from Sumner, Washington. Hi, Daisy.
Hi.
Welcome to the Dog Talk Show.
Well, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So I get lots of emails about various things, and from reading your blog, it sounds like you do too.
I sure do.
This one was actually from the American Kennel Club, I think to Eric and then to me, about a Washington agility champion, which is you.
Mm-hmm.
And you live in Sumner?
I actually live in Bonnie Lake, and I work in Sumner, Washington.
Okay.
So I spend most of my hours in Sumner.
Okay. And you have a whole slew of, are they all border collies?
Well, my oldest dog is, I think he's half border collie, half Australian shepherd. We're not really sure. We call him a giant Schipperke. But the rest are border collies.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
And,
wait,
now,
what was that? A Schipperke?
Schipperke.
Schipperke. Okay.
Yeah, they're
he's pretty, pretty upright, very inquisitive, with big pricked ears, and he looks sort of like a giant Schipperke.
Schipperkes are adorable, and most people don't know what they are, or if they do, how to pronounce it, but they're these cute little black dogs, and they don't no tail, and little prick ears, and they're like little, I don't know, they're really, really cute.
Yep.
We'll have to Google that.
Yes. Good luck spelling it. So, now you were with your dog Solar, who is a young border collie. How old is he?
Solar is 2.5. He'll be 3 in June. He was born on Flag Day, June 14th.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll be 3 in just a couple months. He was, this national championship that he won at the end of March was actually his second national championship that he's won.
Wow.
I know, it's pretty amazing. For a dog that young to win 2 national championships, and both of them were his first events for that venue.
Uh-huh.
So he won his first national championship in November of 2009, and that was in Scottsdale, Arizona, for an organization called the United States Dog Agility Association.
Mm-hmm.
And then more recently, at the end of March, he won the AKC National Agility Championships, which were held in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm. And how does it work with that type of event? Is it kind of like a thing where, like similar to playoffs, where you have to beat different rounds, or do you just have your run, and then if you do well, and if you do the best, then you win? Or is there like an elimination thing?
Well, the two organizations are a little bit different, so I'll focus on the one that just happened, and it's sort of a cumulative event. So everybody that qualifies to go to the Nationals gets to run in the first 3 preliminary rounds. And then they take the top dogs to the finals based on your cumulative score in those 3 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
So you basically have to, maybe you weren't the fastest in every single round, but cumulatively you have to be in the top 5 or 10 dogs and not have any mistakes in any of your runs.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So you have to first qualify to even go. So
yeah,
it's sort of like an invite thing.
Well, it's not an invitational. Anybody who qualifies can go. So there's no limit.
Uh-huh.
There were hundreds and hundreds of dogs there at Nationals this year.
Uh-huh.
You have a whole year to qualify. So there's a qualifying period each year that's defined, and it's usually about 12 months long. And if you qualify at any time during those 12 months, then you do have an open invitation to come, and there's no limit.
Mm-hmm. And what do you have to do to qualify?
In order to qualify, you have to have what are called seed points. Mm-hmm. And speed points are calculated. When you have an agility course, there's a maximum course time, and that's the maximum amount of time that you're allowed to complete the course in.
Mm-hmm.
And for every second that you are under that maximum course time, you get a speed point. So you have to have a certain number of speed points. I can't remember exactly how many it was this year, but I think it was 600 or 750 speed points.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had to have a certain number of what's called double Qs, which means that on any given day at a trial, there's a standard run and a jumper's run, and you qualified in both.
Okay. And qualifying means no mistakes?
Correct. You were under course time, and you didn't have any mistakes.
Okay.
And mistakes would be things like your dog dropped a bar or missed a contact. Those are those yellow mm-hmm. squares at the bottom of all the wooden obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you accidentally sent your dog off course, or maybe it missed a weave pole, those sorts of things.
Okay, so if your dog goes through the weave poles and misses one, can you go back and start them again, and as long as they finish under time, you're okay, or are you still going to get...
You're still going to get a fault.
Okay.
And some people choose to fix them because they want their dog to have the experience of having done them correctly.
Mm-hmm.
And some people choose to just go on.
Right. There was a... the Seattle Dog Show was mid-March,
mm-hmm.
and we were talking... I talk about that a lot because I love it, but the... there was a Papillon Tigger who had set some world record, I think, or national record anyway, of like a Mach 20 or something like that.
Yes.
We were talking about that.
Yeah,
that,
he's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
He is, I think he's 11 years old.
Yeah.
So it just goes to show you that they can do agility for a long time. And a Mach is M-A-C-H.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Master Agility Champion title in AKC.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get a Mach by having 20 of those double Qs. So that means you qualified in standard and in jumpers 20 times on the same day, over 20 days. And then you have to have 750 speed points.
Wow.
So if that dog that had 20 mocks had 20 times 20 double Qs and 20 times 750 speed points.
And do those have to be consecutive? Like in order to get a Mach 2, can you make no mistakes after you get the Mach 1?
No, they don't have to be consecutive.
Okay.
So some people, like Tigger, he's so consistent that he does get double Q after double Q after double Q, and he almost, his owner has sort of joked with me that it's his goal to get a Mach with 20 double Qs consecutively.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to.
Yeah.
You just have to accumulate them at some point.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so Solar... Now, I have some links posted on the Dog Talk Show website on the homepage, right when you go to the website, which is www.dogtalkshow.com. There's a couple links where you can actually watch videos of Daisy and Solar running agility. And the link that I have up currently is not his winning performance, but it was during that event?
Yeah.
Okay. And was this, like, when he was... Now, I know this was his second championship, but... When he was performing over in this event and he had his run, I mean, is he like, was this like an exceptionally good run for him that was his winning run, or was it pretty close to how he usually does?
Well, his winning run was, it was a good run. It was definitely a good run. It was a good run for us as a team,
mm-hmm.
and it was a good run, of course, by any measure.
Mm-hmm.
He's so young. And he's so keen to do agility that typically, as long as I can keep up
right.
and sort of stick with the moment, our runs are pretty good.
Yeah.
But, of course, when they're going that fast and they're that excited, if you blink, things can go pretty wrong pretty quick. And, of
yeah.
course, we still have fun either way.
Right.
And he doesn't really even know that he's done anything wrong.
Right.
But it's usually always a lot of fun.
So when you are running with him, I know that the connection that you have with the dog, I mean, it's hours spent working and training and preparing and building that relationship and being in tuned with each other almost like on an energetic level.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like if you kind of lose your step or skip a beat or disconnect for a second, because especially with a dog that moves so fast that, you know, any little trip, I guess, can kind of throw you off.
Yeah.
Do you find that the mistakes, if a dog misses something or makes a mistake, that it's more often the human, like the handler mistake, or is it kind of 50-50?
You know, it's way, it's so not 50-50. The amazing thing to me is that the dogs hardly ever make mistakes.
Right.
They're going so fast, and I just can't even believe how few mistakes they actually make. 99% of the time, it's our fault.
Yeah.
And if it's not our handling that made the mistake, then it's our training. So we're almost always to blame for any disconnection. It's just amazing to me that they really try so hard to get it right, and they do get it right so often.
Mm-hmm.
And I just assume that it's always my mistake. Either I made a handling error or a training error, but either way, somewhere along the line, I'm to blame.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I can relate to that working with dogs for training and behavior for companion dogs, is that, you know, the dogs are pretty much, they're always consistent in the sense that they can always get it. It's just a matter of, you know, knowing how you need to be as a person or how you need to accommodate them in their learning process so that they get it.
Absolutely.
But it's like constant self-evaluation.
Yes, and yeah. trying to figure out how to communicate what we would like them to do in a way that they'll understand.
Yeah. And have you always had herding breeds?
Well, you know, we had dogs when I was growing up, but I really wasn't all that interested in them or connected with them. They were just kind of there.
Mm-hmm.
And my first dog was a border collie that I got in college,
mm-hmm.
and I got him from the shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, I have had herding breeds.
Mm-hmm.
I checked out a book at the library a long time ago when I was in college and wanted to get a dog, and the book was about Australian shepherds, and I ended up with Gonzo, who was a border collie.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of the route that I took, and I've never looked back. I love the border collies.
Mm-hmm.
I love the herding breeds. But definitely not for everybody, but I sure
yeah.
do love them.
Well, we have two Australian cattle dogs, so I feel you.
Yeah.
On that, they keep us busy. They're
mm-hmm.
amazing. I mean, what they are capable of is, I mean, we took them herding a couple times, and I'm just itching to get them into something more structured and more formal because I just think it'd be a blast because they're just so amazing.
They're pretty. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I love agility.
Yeah. Well, I think you have to love it to do as well as you do. You know, the performance, to have the dogs be having such a positive experience, and it's just such a wonderful thing to get to work as a team together. I think that's one of the things that I love the most about any type of dog sport or something like that, is that it's a great opportunity for people to connect with their dogs in a way that is so natural for them to work together.
Mm-hmm. So those 30 seconds that were out there on the course are just, they're the most amazing 30 seconds ever.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes with Daisy Peel. And Daisy, is Solar with you right now?
You know, I left him at home today and brought two other dogs with me.
Well, I hope you'll play the podcast for him once that's up on iTunes so he can hear the interview.
I sure will.
We'll be back in just a few minutes with the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
House dogs, street dogs, dogs of the world unite, dancing dogs.
Picking up dog or cat poop is a necessary pet owner's ritual. Plastic poop bags put in the trash end up in landfills, produce methane gas, and contaminate our hard-to-get clean water. Bokashi Cycle's Pet Cycle fermenting system provides a simple, sustainable solution to a growing problem. Pet waste is safely and rapidly transformed into a product that restores nutrients and microbes to the soil. Pet Cycle is an easy and natural system you can use at home to end polluting. Visit www.bokashicycle.com or call 1-800-714-2130 to order your Pet Cycle system today.
I'm Joy Turner, host of Talk With Your Animals, now on Thursdays at 1 p.m. I take your calls and talk with your animal companions about anything you'd like to know from them. You can also talk with your loved ones, both human and animals, on the other side. Tune in to Talk With Your Animals Thursdays at 1 with me, Joy Turner. Thanks for listening.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick & Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150. Your home is your castle, but the upkeep. There's always so much to do. You don't want your investment to look run down, but who has time for all the things that need to be done? Regular window washing, gutter and roof cleaning, house cleaning, routine pressure washing. And what about those dryer vents? Lint in dryer vents is a common source of house fires. Ouch! Wouldn't it be nice to have an experienced, established, and respected company take care of those routine tasks for you on a regular basis? Capital Cleaning Services, serving the Seattle area since 1973, is your perfect choice. With years of experience and top ratings on Angie's List, Puget Consumer Checkbook, and the Better Business Bureau, Capital Cleaning Services can reliably and safely help you with your routine home and maintenance tasks. You're in the clear with Capital Cleaning. So call today for a free quote and see how we can help you protect your investment and keep your home looking beautiful all year round. Call 206-782-2494. That's 206-782-2494 for Capital Cleaning Services.
Get current weather, traffic, and news. Visit 1150kknw.com and stay informed with Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. We're back today with Daisy Peel and her dog Solar, who's not being interviewed right now. But they just won the National Agility Championships, the American Kennel Club Agility Championships in Oklahoma. Welcome back, Daisy.
Welcome. Thank you.
So you guys had quite a weekend down in Oklahoma, and this was March 26th through 28th.
Yes.
That you were down there, and you've been running. This is actually Solar, your dog's second national championship.
Yeah.
And his title is in, was it the 26-inch height?
That's correct.
And was his last title in the same jumping height as well?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. And now this is just, this competition happened just before the American Kennel Club opened up competition to mixed breeds as well as an option. I don't think it's required, is that, but it's clubs can open up the competition to mixed breed dogs. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's pretty exciting, actually. I know that there are some mixed opinions on it, but I think that any opportunity that people have with either their mixed or purebred dog to get involved in dog sports is a good thing. It can only be a good thing.
Yeah.
I know that a lot of people have a mixed breed dog and want to get into dog sports and previously couldn't. And I know, especially around here in the state of Washington, we have a lot of AKC agility shows.
Yeah.
So if you have a mixed breed dog, you might be a little bit limited just with respect to convenience and what weekends you have available. And I think it's great. Anything that promotes people being active with their dogs can only be a good thing, I think.
Yeah. And they're competing with the purebred dogs, correct? Like against them, or not against them, but, you know, in the same competition, so their scores are being counted with...
As far as I understand, yes. I'm not really clear on all the details because I know that they've sort of revised them.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as I understand, it's just like it has been previously where you are split up according to your dog's height.
Mm-hmm.
So the Chihuahuas are not going to be competing against the Border Collies or the Australian Shepherds. But as far as I know, they're just sort of not including breed as an issue anymore, and you just based on height.
Huh. Yep. Well, I agree. I think that, you know, anything that opens it up to more people to be able to do this type of thing with their dog can only be a good thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how it impacts people who are already competitively participating with their purebred dogs.
Well, I think I'm not sure it's going to have a huge impact, competitively speaking, because there are some pretty competitive venues, like the venue that we went to Scottsdale, Arizona, to compete at in November of 2009, the United States Dog Agility Association, is open to all breeds. mm-hmm. mixed breed, purebred, they don't care. It's just based on height. And so there are a lot of people out there with mixed breed dogs or maybe purebred dogs that don't have pedigrees that are very competitive, mm-hmm. and they're already competing at the highest levels of competition. So I'm not sure that you're going to see a whole lot of impact in the upper levels of competition,
mm-hmm.
but certainly I think you're going to see more people gain access to the sport, especially in areas that don't have a lot of mixed breed agility venues available.
So the USDAA already opens up to mixed breeds.
Yeah.
But this is pertaining more to AKC competitions.
Yeah. And then there are multiple agility organizations. AKC is really the only agility organization that didn't previously allow mixed breeds.
Mm-hmm.
USDAA, NADAC, which is another agility organization, CPE, Teacup, which is for small dogs. None of those organizations ever had any policy regarding breed or mixed breed. They were always open to all.
Now that would be fun to watch the teacup agility competition.
It's pretty neat. They're limited to dogs 17 inches and under.
Uh-huh.
And the equipment is miniaturized, so special for small dogs. It's pretty neat.
Yeah. Now, in your videos, it's amazing to watch some of your runs with Solar, and I'm sure your other dogs as well, to watch how fast he moves through the equipment. And the thing I think that where I actually exclaimed out loud when I saw him do it was the dog walk, which is like this narrow, it's only like a foot wide, I think, right?
12 inches wide and 36 feet long.
Yeah, so it's this basically this huge ramp that you go kind of go up and then walk across and then go down, and he just flies over it, and it's like he sticks to it. Like, with how fast he's moving, it's amazing that he can just sort of, whoom, like right over it, and then...
He does. He does the dog walk usually in about 1.4 to 1.5 seconds.
Yeah.
36 feet.
Yeah, very...
Pretty so, amazing.
Yeah, so it's a good workout for you, too,
yeah.
huh?
mm-hmm. And he was trained to do that. He was... my previous dogs were all trained to stop at the end of the contact, and he was trained to do what's called a running dog walk. So he was trained to run across the entire thing, but still hit the yellow as he... left the board.
Mm. And he can hit that yellow part at the end with either his front or back paws?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, it's really cool. I definitely recommend check out the videos. There's a couple posted right now on the website, dogtalkshow.com. And you have a website too, Daisy, which is daisypeel.com, P-E-E-L.
Mm-hmm.
And that has some more pictures and videos and a blog. And a bunch of other stuff, too, so you can kind of keep up with your gang's activities there.
Yeah.
And you're going to send me a link for Solar's actual championship run?
Yes, I already did that.
Oh, good.
I'll be receiving it any moment.
So I can post that on the website as well so that you can see the actual run. Now, did you know as soon as he finished it that kind of won it, or do you have to wait for a bunch of other dogs to run before you find out?
Well, I had to wait for the other dogs to run to find out. But, you know, I was just so happy that we'd had a clean run and that it had just gone so well. And then he'd done such a good job at his first nationals that I really wasn't paying attention to whether we had won or anything like that. I was just so ecstatic to have had a nice run in the final.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had on a guest several months ago named Robert Rohde, and he wrote a book called Dogged Pursuit, and it's about his experience doing competitive agility with his rescue Sheltie.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking, you know, about their experience, and Dusty had some social issues that he was working through at the time. It's a very entertaining book, but, you know, just kind of, I definitely, after reading that, have an appreciation for, you know, it's not a given that you're going to run a clean run every time.
No.
And that
no.
people are really happy to qualify and to run a clean run that was without mistakes and under the time. So I can definitely appreciate how thrilled you were just, in such a big run where it's the final and, you know, you did all of these runs to get to that point, and then to perform at your best with Solar just must have been such a wonderful experience.
It was pretty amazing, and what most people don't know is that they took 5 dogs to the finals, and my other dog, who was also jumping 26, was number 6.
Oh, wow.
So I almost made it in with 2 dogs. I was pretty thrilled that they had both done so well. It was just, I haven't, it was just a blast. The whole weekend was amazing.
Yeah. Now, where do you train, and how many hours a week, and for how long have you been doing this with Solar, for example? Like, how long has he been in agility training?
Well, I've been in agility training for 12 years,
mm-hmm.
and most of the time now I train where I work. I'm a dog trainer at a facility in Sumner, Washington called It's a Dog's World,
mm-hmm.
and we have all sorts of classes there. And, you know, I used to be a high school chemistry teacher, and I quit my job as a high school chemistry teacher a couple years ago to become a professional dog trainer.
Mm-hmm.
And the irony of that is that I have far less time now to train my dogs than I did before.
Yeah.
So I don't really train them that much anymore. A few times a week for a few minutes at a time is usually all I get. And so I spend a lot of time when I have free time hiking or exercising or making sure that they're really physically fit to meet the demands that the sport puts on them.
Yeah.
And I do a lot of trick training, mm-hmm. Teaching them tricks so that they can be physically fit and keep their brains engaged. But mm-hmm. really probably maybe only 20 to 30 minutes of agility training a week total.
Really?
That's it's a lot less than it used to be. When I first started, I did quite a bit more. But
mm-hmm. So it was only that short of time per week that got Solar, you know, in addition to everything else that you do to just have healthy, happy, well-balanced dogs.
Well, that's 20 to 30 minutes a week of maybe really focused training. But, of course, every minute that we're together, we're doing some sort of training in the sense that they're learning how to be around me and I'm learning how to be around them. And,
right.
Loose leash walking and house manners and things like that. And that's been going on since he was just a puppy.
Yeah. So your working relationship, of course, has been since you got him.
Right. It's pretty much nonstop.
Right. Yeah, and that's something, too, that I think people think, and I know that I thought before I did this. I got my first dog in college as well, and I was 20, and I remember taking him to a class, an obedience class at the time, and he was a rescue lab mix, and I remember thinking, like, well, he could never do what the trainer's dog is doing, like waiting on a rug in a classroom full of other dogs. Like,
mm-hmm.
that's great for her dog, but this dog could never do that. And then, you know, fast forward 10 years and he's sitting on his rug while I'm teaching a class. And it's just so much of it is, one, believing that it's actually possible with your dog and knowing how to do it. But it really doesn't take a lot of time. It's really impressive how fast dogs learn. I think the key is the consistency.
Yeah, definitely the key is consistency, and you definitely have to believe.
Yeah, but I think that they're so underestimated, you know, with how many words people think they can learn or what they're capable of doing, and it's really just a matter of going there with them and engaging with them on that level, because when you do, you just get so much more back, and you're doing them. It's just such a gift to them to engage with them and,
mm-hmm.
you know, give them an outlet for their mental energy in addition to their physical
yep.
exercise. So,
yep, absolutely.
Well, congratulations on your victory to you and Solar and your other dog, too, who was number 6.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, a reflection, since most of the mistakes are caused by people. I think that the success, it just shows your handling skills and your relationship is just wonderful. And thanks for bringing the award back home to Washington, and it's great. I hope to sometime. How far out are you from Seattle?
You know, if the traffic's good, we're maybe 45 minutes to an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Sumner's pretty close to Puyallup,
mm-hmm.
so it's not too bad a drive, depending on what time you head down.
Yeah, well, I'm just itching to do something. You know, take the cattle dogs, through agility or something like that. We were just looking at herding too, but maybe we'll make it down there someday and meet you in person.
Yeah. We have tons of stuff going on. We have tracking, obedience, rally, agility, you name it. We've got it going on here.
Oh, fun! And that's It's a Dog's World is your facility.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. your website again is www.daisypeel.com. P-E-E-L.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the links in the website are all on the Dog Talk Show website, too. So you can find those there. Well, thanks so much for being on the show today, Daisy.
Thank you for having me.
Enjoy this beautiful spring weather, and I'll be in touch soon.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a few minutes with the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Are you a doctor, dentist, or therapist? Have you ever wished you could take your dog to work with you? Visit HealingAllies.com to find out how you can train your dog to become a clinical therapy dog in your office or clinic. Clinical therapy dogs provide people with joy, affection, and emotional support in healthcare settings. Research shows that therapy animals have positive psychological and physiological effects on clients and patients. Meet your newest staff member, your dog. Visit HealingAllies.com or call 206-406-1455 for more information. That's HealingAllies.com.
Hi, I'm Vicki St. Clair. I want to invite you to join me every Monday at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. We'll talk with innovative business leaders, medical and health professionals, authors, filmmakers, adventurers, and ordinary people leading extraordinary lives. Join me Mondays at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Next week on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair, dream coach Joyce Chapman is back to answer your questions.
Check out our guest schedule at conversationslive.net and join me Mondays at noon.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Jones & Company Pets, we cover the world of animals, sometimes with a twist. Like this week, we'll be reminiscing and entertaining the human animal. Old friend and colleague, comedian, actor, radio host, and undoubtedly one of the funniest men on the planet, Pat Cashman, joins us. Not only is he the goofy Taco Time TV ad guy, but he's also one of the nicest men I know. Get to know him and stroll down memory lane with us on Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Camley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Camley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area, licensed, bonded, and insured. Camley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
Talk radio with a difference. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. Thanks, Eric.
No problem.
That's a tribute to
like
Daisy.
Like rocking out a little bit.
That's right. That's a tribute to Daisy and Solar for bringing the championship back to Washington so we can all sing that regarding dog agility. So I wanted to let everybody know how my experience has been so far with my new dog poop transformation system.
Oh, yeah. The Bokashi people were on just last week. And how's that working out so far?
You know what? I love it.
All right.
I love it. And I got it set up this weekend, and what it is, and you can listen to the show. It's either archived on the website, or you can go to iTunes now and subscribe to the Dog Talk Show, and then all of the new shows will automatically end up in your iTunes mailbox for podcasts. But we had Dr. Larry Green on last week. He's the founder of and owner of Bokashi Cycle.
And he brought in the buckets,
you know,
he brought in the system. And thankfully, he did not demonstrate the system while he was here in the studio because we don't have enough circulation for that. But it was pretty fascinating.
Yes. And it does get rid of the odor, but it does take some time. So, right.
Well, I would have the before part is what I was worried about, not the after part.
Right. Well, he did. Yeah. And he sent me home with that system to try. And so I started that this weekend, and it's really easy. You just mix some of this liquid that they give you, the accelerant, in with a couple gallons of water, and then sprinkle some of the little dust, or it's a wheat germ that has the microbes on it or something like that. And then you just add your poop to it. And so, and I've got plenty of poop. We've got three dogs. So I added the poop to it and then sealed it and then, you know, went back. And every time I scoop the yard, we'll go. And rather than dumping it into a garbage bag in a garbage can, and then after, you know, a week, tying it off and sending it to the dump, now it's going into my Bokashi pet cycle system and is getting transformed into a solution that I can actually, and it'll be ready soon, I'll actually go and dig a hole and pour it into the hole in the ground, into the soil, and then cover it. And the process, it's a acidic anaerobic fermentation. And it's a very similar process to what happens in a cow's stomach or a cow's rumen, which is what enables them to digest cellulose. The microorganisms go to work and basically digest everything, all of the contaminants in the poop. So it takes out the methane gas. It takes out anything bad that might be in there that might contaminate the environment, both in the air and through the water supply, which is what will happen if you if your poop goes to a landfill or flush down the toilet. Dog's poop. So anyway, I've been using it. I love it. It's super easy. And I love that, you know, tomorrow's Thursday, the trash is getting picked up, and I don't have to go back there and tie up a bag of dog poop and, you know, haul it into the front and have it sent out. I just feel so good about what I'm doing to responsibly manage the waste. And it's also very cool to me, the process that happens, that it's actually possible. It's all natural. Not only does it remove the contaminants, but it's actually something that adds nutrients back into the soil, nitrogen and microbes and stuff like that. So if you have ornamental gardens, you'll actually notice a difference in your gardens too. So I will keep people posted. I have not yet deposited any of it into the ground. I should be doing that probably next weekend. So I will keep everybody posted. But we are offering, well, they actually, they have a coupon code for the Dog Talk Show where you'll actually get 10% off your Bokashi cycle system, which is everything you need to get set up. Two bins, a big jug of the accelerant, and a bunch of that powder that you put in there, the wheat germ. And you get 10% off at checkout with the coupon code Dog Talk Show. And that information is on the website as well. And there's also a link to Bokashi Cycle website, which is bokashicycle.com. Highly, highly recommend this. It's something that we definitely need to do. It doesn't take much time at all, and it's a, it's an important thing that we need to do to manage pet waste and keep it out of landfills because it's just so bad for the environment. So I love mine. So I have a story to share. Eric, you remember Blue, the standard poodle who came in with Darcy, who was a service dog in training, the big black standard poodle.
Oh, yeah. Very handsome dog.
Yes. And he is now with his new owner. He's now done with his training, and he's living with his owner.
Well, I accidentally petted Blue, even though he was wearing a vest that said, do not pet. I see that just as I'm petting him. So hopefully I didn't mess up anything in the process, and hopefully Blue's doing all
right. Well, it took some time to work him out of that, Eric. But
sorry about
yeah,
that. I see a dog. I can't help. I just want to pet him.
I know it. Well, he's wonderful, and it's an amazing story. I'm going to read his new owner actually wrote a testimonial that you can find. It's also posted on the Dog Talk Show website with a link to Healing Allies, which is Darcy, my partner in Call Screener's business that she does. She trains mental health service dogs for people with mental impairments. So I'm going to read the testimonial and share a little bit about that since I was behind the scenes in the training. So this is what his new owner wrote. I have suffered from severe depression, anxiety, and agoraphobia for over 7 years, with things seeming to get progressively worse every passing year. Eventually, I even stopped going into stores or restaurants, waiting in the car while my husband shopped. With three small children, I was painfully aware that I was creating a negative impact on my kids' lives and memories. Being a military family, moving and family separation is always a factor. And I knew that I needed to find more help than just my current medications in order to take care of my family. I discovered Healing Allies entirely by chance while doing a search on assistance dogs from a recommendation from my doctor. Darcy called me immediately, and I felt hope for the first time in years as she talked me through the process of choosing and training the perfect dog for me and my needs. Darcy encouraged me to write a letter of support to send out to my friends and family, since money was a barrier in my desire to find a medical alert dog. I was overwhelmed by the financial support that was given by my family and friends. None of them had been aware of my issues. I had worked so hard for so many years to hide my fears and anxiety by creating excuses to avoid social situations and many other activities. Darcy has been my angel and found Blue, my handsome black standard poodle. At first, I was a little nervous about a stranger choosing the dog that will be by my side constantly. But Darcy seems to have a sixth sense when it comes to dogs and pairing them with their owner. Blue wakes me up in the morning, either by alarm or when my youngest son cries, reminds me to take my medications twice a day. Blue is by my side throughout the house, helping me to feel as if I'm not alone in my anxieties, and most of all, he provides a calming presence and distraction while in stores. Now I can go freely into stores once again and not feel as if everyone is pressing in around me. People automatically give us a wider berth, and when it does get crowded, Blue presses up against me, which automatically turns my attention to him rather than the crowds. I had forgotten what this type of freedom felt like, and I am thankful every single day that I found Darcy and Healing Allies. Darcy continues to check in with Blue and I. She is always willing to answer questions that arise, offer advice and support. She is an amazing woman, and I would refer anyone who is considering a service dog to contact Healing Allies. It is a decision that I will never forget. Never regret, I mean. And Blue, Darcy found him. She uses rescue dogs or dogs that don't have homes, mm-hmm. Rather than dogs that are bred specifically to be service dogs. And it's, you know, definitely a gift that she has to kind of have an eye for what a dog needs, what kind of temperament they need, but also knowing the human that she's looking for and being able to find the dog that is the match for the person. And it feels like there's something else at play with this too, because it's like, the dogs will sort of make themselves available, like through her searches, she finds them when each person comes to her with a need, a client that she's looking for a dog for. And Blue we actually found up at the Academy of Canine Behavior, which is up in Bothell. And he was bought by an elderly woman who had just lost her two old standard poodles. And I think she was like 80 and got two standard poodle puppies, which ended up being more than she could handle. And she wasn't able to provide, meet their needs. So the Academy of Canine Behavior, who was working with her, they had done an in-home lesson, saw that these dogs were really outstanding. They were litter mates and offered to actually take the dogs in for her and find a better match and to take the dogs in for adoption. And so she found Blue, and I went with her to meet him. And he was just, for a 10-month-old standard poodle, which typically are very high energy, he was remarkably grounded and just very sweet. And so we took him home and then worked with him in the house, and we're gonna take a quick break. But when we come back, I'll talk a little bit more about the process of when Blue was matched with his new owner and had the kind of the magic that happened there. So we'll be back in just a few minutes with the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
As much as I love for you, but you may think my dog will always come through. All he asks from me is the food to give him strength. All he ever needs is love, and that he knows he'll get.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1066. 1-800-878-7979 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist, www.sensitivedog.com.
Looking for new ways to find light, love, healing, and balance in your life, your family, and your work? You're not alone. I'm Jeanette Dames, host of The Soul's Edge, Tuesdays at noon, right here on Alternative Talk 1150. And I want to help you bring your life back to life. Listen to nourish your life or call for an angel reading. Join me on The Soul's Edge, Tuesdays at noon, right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Are you a doctor, dentist, or therapist? Have you ever wished you could take your dog to work with you? Visit HealingAllies.com to find out how you can train your dog to become a clinical therapy dog in your office or clinic. Clinical therapy dogs provide people with joy, affection, and emotional support in healthcare settings. Research shows that therapy animals have positive psychological and physiological effects on clients and patients. Meet your newest staff member, your dog. Visit HealingAllies.com or call 206-406-1455 for more information. That's HealingAllies.com.
Click the show's page on 1150KKNW.com for the scoop on Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
My dog will always come through. All the pay I need comes a shining.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. So I was just talking about, I read a testimonial of a dog that recently graduated from Darcy's training program as a mental health service dog. Her business is called Healing Allies, and her website is www.mentalhealthdogs.org. You can check that out. There's also a link to that on the website, which is dogtalkshow.com. So Blue, we found Blue, and Darcy found Blue, and we went and checked him out and took him home for an extended evaluation, and he's just an extraordinary poodle. And but then, you know, so we know that, but then it's a matter of, well, is it a good fit with this individual person? So and they met, and the thing that I'm sort of seeing, you know, with dogs that come through the program and graduate, at the point where they meet their owners, it's like it was just, it's almost like a reunion rather than meeting someone for the first time. It's very interesting. It's, there's like the kind of this magic that's happening where there's like no transition, like Blue. Blue was in training with Darcy for 3 months. He was, you know, being worked with and being trained and, you know, being trained how to alert when an alarm went off and kind of, you know, perform these tasks and public access training and stuff like that. So he was with us for some time. And so there's a bond that happens there. And you would think that the dog, you know, anytime a dog goes through transition like that, it can be stressful. But the thing that's happening with these, with a lot of these dogs that are service dogs, is, like I said, it's almost like a reunion when they meet their person who needs them. It, they just know. I mean, it's this connection. I can't explain it, but there's like no transition. So Blue went home and he was, you know, sort of starting to be transitioned into his new home with his new family. And the plan was to have him go home for a night and then take him back. And then he would go home for the next weekend and then take him back and kind of, you know, slowly transition him. But once he went home for a night, it was like it was just perfect. Like, there was no, you know, they continued to meet for lessons together, but there just wasn't, there just was no transition. It's amazing because it's not something that I see typically in other situations, like where dogs get rehomed in other situations. So it just kind of makes you think about what dogs are present to and what influences them and their experience. You know, the difference between being given up by a family and given, you know, to a shelter or something like that, or in foster care where it can be stressful for the dogs, versus this kind of really special thing that's happening with dogs who are, you know, special dogs to begin with, and then they're being matched with someone who really needs them on this level. And this has happened now, too. There's another dog, a new dog in the program named Duke. He's a gigantic yellow lab. And he was given up by a family who loved him a ton, but their housing requirements couldn't allow the dog. And they were a military family and just didn't feel like they could meet his needs. And so Darcy found Duke. And turns out Duke just met his new future dad, and it was like old friends. It's amazing. I mean, the bond, it's like it's totally there and they've just met. And it's the dogs. I mean, the dogs know. It's just amazing. So check out that website. There's more stories like Blues on there that you can read, testimonials, the Blues testimonials on the Dog Talk Show website. But you can go to healingallies.com, also mentalhealthdogs.org, same website. And that's Healing Allies, HEELING. Very cool to witness that and to be a part of that, and just compliments to Darcy for having that instinct to know when she sees a dog that it's going to be the dog for the person who needs him. So it's really cool to witness that. So I mentioned last week, I think I more than mentioned last week, there's a video of this dog wash, this automated dog wash.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, that's posted on the website now, dogtalkshow.com. It's this thing, I don't know, it was on BBC News.
On their website, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a link to it on the Dog Talk Show website. But it's basically like an automated dog wash where you actually, like a washing machine, no spin cycle.
Yes, thankfully.
Like a washing machine, you open this door and it's the video of there. She's putting a little poodle in the thing and then closes the door and it does this automated wash.
I think that
wash.
Was a substandard poodle.
Yeah, it was. It was. I think it was a toy poodle. Yeah. And it's a 35-minute process. And
I was amazed by that, the length of time that it was. Yeah.
Well, you can check that out for yourself and feel free to write comments about what you think about it. I'm clear that I don't like it, but I guess enough people think it's a good idea.
I think it would be a good idea for people. I'd like one of those.
Yeah.
You know, I just want to get in and just relax while a machine does all the work.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Yeah, but like,
I just think if the dog could not be frightened, you know, because maybe after a few times going through, it'll just be used to it. But it looks really frightened that first time going in, for sure.
I think it's the thing about putting it in like an enclosed machine that just didn't sit right, because it looks like a washing machine, like a front load. Load washing, dog washing machine.
Right.
So it's like one thing if you're like standing in open air, and one, you know, you're the one pushing the start button. You know, the dogs aren't the ones like, hey, let's do this way.
Right.
I mean, they don't like baths anyway, but I didn't like it at all. But let me know what you think about it. It's on the website, and I'd love for you to leave your comments. And
it'll be interesting to see over time if there's dogs that grow to like it. You know what I mean?
I don't know.
We'll see.
We'll see. So the Dog Talk Show is available on iTunes. You can subscribe to our podcast, and all of the new shows, when they're updated, will automatically go into your iTunes podcasts. So you don't have to remember to do it. And if you can't catch us live, or if you want to listen to any shows again or send your friends to us, then you can do it that way as well, in addition to listening to us every Wednesday from 2 to 3 on AM 1150. So we've been on iTunes for, I think, about a month now. So that's exciting. And all of the past shows are also archived on the website, which is dogtalkshow.com. We do still have a few spots left for advertisers. If you're interested in advertising your business, product, service on the Dog Talk Show, We have limited advertising space, so I really do get to focus on my advertisers both on air and off as I'm working with clients for dog training and behavior. So it's a great opportunity. It's really affordable advertising, totally accessible to small local businesses. We also have sponsorship available for people who want more exposure on the show. Currently, major sponsors of the show are the Natural Pet Pantry, My Favorite Food, locally made, that's naturalpetpantry.com, Kemley Electric, a full-service electrical contractor, website is kemleyelectric.com, as well as the Institute of Complementary Medicine, icmedicine.com, and you can also find information about those companies on the website as well. So we are going to have, I think next week we're going to have Dr. Fox back on the show, one of my favorite guests to talk about fleas.
The fantastic Dr. Fox.
Yes. Very fun interview, a wealth of knowledge, and just a blast to have on the show. So we will be back same time, same place, Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. live on 1150 KKNW. Thanks for listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.